On the show today, we have Cooperative Credit Union Association President and CEO Paul Gentile talking about their new initiative aimed at combating elder financial abuse called CU Senior Safeguard. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have Mr. Paul Gentile, President and CEO of the Cooperative Credit Union Association. How are you, sir?
Very good, Mike. Good to be with you. How are you?
Good to be with you as well, and I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Always appreciate that. Hey, we're talking about a really serious issue here that you've really kind of taken the torch and run with it here. It's elder financial abuse. These folks that prey on the elderly who just get sucked into these really really awful scams and stuff like that. And you guys have created a solution called CU Senior Safeguard. It's a new initiative aimed at combating elder financial abuse. But before we get into CU Senior Safeguard, just can you give us a quick background on how serious this issue is in our country?
So elder financial abuse is a major problem in the country. We did a nationwide survey last year, and what you find is about three-quarters of elders are targeted in some way with products that prey on elders. Now, it's very important to note some of these products are normal financial products that aren't illegal in any way, but they're really just not fit for a senior. For example, we had somebody, I won't name the financial institution, but we had a story of an elder who was sold term life insurance. They're in their 90s, and somehow they signed up for 9 different policies over a 3-week period.
Oh my God.
A very reputable insurance provider, right? So they weren't in control of what they were doing. Was it a mistake? Was it an accident? Or they just prey on these people? A lot of times these people are very willing to pick up the phone and talk to people. That's how they remember when they were growing up. A lot of business was done over the phone.
Yeah.
They're lonely. And then we have the pure scammers who call up saying their grandson is in jail. They need money to get him out of jail. Please give us your account numbers, your Social Security, all sorts of stories. So we did a nationwide survey, and this is where we found all these stories. Our survey was covered in the Washington Post, Boston Globe, because we really got some interesting results. But net, it's about a $3 to $5 billion hit to elders every year in this country.
Gosh.
And it's a major, major problem. So we've been very concerned about it. I personally dealt with it a bit. My father had some dementia at the end of his life, and I handled his finances. I couldn't believe every time I went over there how many solicitations he received for all sorts of things. Even things like changing your power company over to one of these other providers. Things that don't really seem that bad, but they're actually not giving any value to the senior.
Yeah.
So you have kind of the basic ones, then you have the real bad things, right? The people really trying to get your Social Security number, defraud you, get your credit card account number. So it's a big, big issue.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And I love it that credit unions, especially in your neck of the world, are kind of taking the baton or the torch and just running with this and creating almost a platform to kind of remedy this abuse. So give us a quick overview on CU Senior Safeguard. You know, what's it all about? How did it come up? All that type of stuff.
What's really interesting in financial services, credit unions are obviously the white hat. We're the good guys. We're the ones there wanting to help our members. You know, unfortunately today, the way the laws are, you can get into some risk if you're a credit union and you suspect elder financial abuse and you take action. Maybe you're wrong. You could be under litigation challenges. There's a bill in Congress, Senate Bill 2155, which everybody's celebrating in credit union land, primarily because of the 1-4 non-owner occupied component. But another component in that bill is called the Senior Safe Act, and that provides indemnity, a safe harbor for credit unions and other financial institutions for elder financial abuse as long as their frontline staff is trained.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's a training component to that. So we spend a lot of time talking to our state regulators, our federal lawmakers about elder financial abuse. In all 4 of our states, it's a major concern. And we started to work with them and said, what would you like to see us do to help alleviate this problem? So we came up with a great interactive module. It's very high tech. It's very cool. It's engaging. It's interactive. That a credit union frontline staffer could do at any time on their own from their desktop, laptop, computer. And we really invested in it. You know, I give my board of the cooperative a lot of credit. It was not a cheap endeavor. We had to spend a good amount of money to invest in this.
Mm-hmm.
We had to invest in our members to make them better when we can. And we just thought this was a great thing to do. So I got to tell you, Mike, we had a Senior Safeguard kickoff last week, and we had about 180 people on the line, which is really a big number. And we're seeing such usage already in these early days. that we just think we hit the right area for credit unions to focus on. We feel good about it. They feel good about it. And most importantly, we want to do good things for elders, because think about the most vulnerable in our society. It's elders, right? Mm-hmm. They may not be controlled of everything they're doing anymore. And for them to be preyed on to work all their lives, I just think it's unconscionable. And I think it's a great thing for credit unions to tackle.
Well, and I was thinking as I was preparing for this interview, is like the baby boomer generation. I mean, this is going to be a huge elderly population, probably the biggest in history. And so this issue is going to get, it's only going to get worse, unfortunately. But it's so cool that you guys, again, have taken the baton and really put something out there and to have credit unions as a platform for it.
Right. We feel good about it. We've set a goal, a very aggressive goal, of 100% frontline staff training of all the CCUA members. So that's a big, big number. Mm-hmm. And we think we can get there. Our CEOs are really behind this. You know, I've heard from our largest to our smallest, Paul, we're going to get our frontline staff training because we think it's so important. So we think we have real potential here to make a difference. You know, and I would just note, we always talk about financial literacy in the credit union movement, and we do great things, National Credit Union mm-hmm. Foundation, others. We do a lot of reality fairs here through America's Credit Union Museum, and all that stuff's great, but it's always geared to youth, right? And that is so important, youth. But what about the other side of the spectrum? What about our elders? What about the caregivers who are helping the elders with their financial issues?
Oh, yeah.
That area that we see some opportunity for some more need, for some more focus on education there.
Is this something that can be offered nationwide, or is it just in your association or your neck of the woods there? Or?
We have kicked this off with our four states.
Okay.
We will go
okay.
from there and see what happens from there. But first, we want our members, again, like I said, we'd like to invest in our membership. We want to get them trained, them up and running, and then we'll look at offering it maybe to others. But really, it's a CCUA initiative at this time. Again, we invested a lot of money in it because we think it's so important.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to get that mission done before we do anything else.
Yeah, I think this is something you can't really put a price tag on, because it's, I think the value of it is just, is you, again, you can't put a price tag on this. So how does a credit union sign up for this? And you're obviously, you have a whole section dedicated to it on your website. Do they go there, or what do they do?
Sure. They go to our website. They'll see a senior safeguard icon logo. They click on that. They'll have to log into the site. It is a member-only deal. Again, we don't charge the members at all, but since we invested a lot of money in it, it is really just for our members at this point. Mm-hmm. They go on, they log on, they get a user ID and password through the platform, and then they can take it at any time they'd like. You can even start and then go back later, because, you know, it does take some time. Excuse me there.
Oh, and I thought that was me.
So yeah, it's kind of on the go, though, you know, and I think the fact that it's sort of self-starting, it's going to give people the opportunity to do it at their own pace mm-hmm. and not sit in a classroom environment and just wait for the teacher to tell you what's going on. The other thing we're hearing our credit unions do, though, is some of them have said, hey, Paul, we want to get a group in the room and we want to do it here together at the credit union. Maybe we have 20 people go through it at the same time, and that's fine. You can put it up on the big screen. You guys could all take the test together and mm-hmm. go through it together. So the great thing is at the end, you get certified, you get a certificate, and that's what the credit union could use. Keep it in the file, show the regulator. If the regulator comes in, hey, our frontline staff has been trained on elder financial abuse. We're taking it very seriously. Mm-hmm. The other thing we did in the platform is we linked to our state regulatory rules on elder financial abuse, because they are different from state to state. Some states already have the indemnities, others don't. Mm-hmm. So you look at your particular state where you're operating and see what the rules are for that.
Can you give us a couple of examples of what a credit union frontline staff will learn in here, just one or two items that they can take away?
Well, first of all, they're going to learn, hopefully, how to spot elder financial abuse. So let's take something that may seem mundane. Somebody walks in and they're maybe want to get signed up as a joint account holder mm-hmm. with an elder. So maybe it's a member you've known for many years. They haven't seen this person before, and you see something like that happen. Obviously, that's a red flag. So in the platform, you learn what you should say, what you should do at those times. So things like that, scenario issues about seeing elder financial abuse and how to talk to people, because I think there's some embarrassment that comes with it from the elders, unfortunately. We spend a little time on that on the platform. You know, how do you approach somebody who has been, you know, been wonderful their whole life, and now they come at the end, they may not be in control of everything. Mm-hmm. How do you make sure you don't insult them and work together with them? We also obviously teach them about the regulatory tools that are available that they go to on the federal and state level to report and do things like that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of different facets. Some are soft skills and some are hard skills.
Okay. Yeah, because there's a stat in there that only 1 in 44 elders will report this type of financial abuse. So, I mean, that's, I mean, to get this to be more, to get people to admit or to say, gosh, you know what, this happened to me. So it sounds like there's kind of maybe a pride issue here as well. And maybe somebody who may not have all their faculties.
That's right.
And so, I mean, it's a really startling statistic, I think.
Yeah, and again, I saw firsthand my father. It was very hard to be in that situation where somebody you've looked up to your whole life, yeah, and now you see at the end, they just really can't – they're not in control of what's going on. So again, I think a lot of this is soft skills as well.
Yeah.
But you know, from the legislative regulatory standpoint, this bill that is pending in the Senate, which we hope goes to the House and passes, there is that safeguard, that indemnity for creditors and other financial institutions who go through training. So we want to be ahead of that curve and have our members trained when that bill passes, so they're in great shape.
Yep.
To take advantage of that.
Yeah, you guys are really ahead of the curve here, Paul, so I commend you on that. So well done here. Hey, to wrap up here, again, where can folks find out more about CU Senior Safeguard and find out more about it?
CCUA.org, mm-hmm, and you'll see an icon there for CU Senior Safeguard. And again, we'll talk to anybody about it. Anybody wants to learn more about it, even if they're not in our four states, they want to, because we think it's such an important, yeah, initiative. It's not something we're keeping secret or protecting. We just want to get our members trained first. But obviously, if anybody wants to reach out, I have heard from some partner trade associations and others about interest in the program. So we're certainly going to share everything we've done with everybody to kind of spread the word, because this is a national,
yep,
problem, and it's something that creditors really should be the leaders on. This is what we do, financial literacy, financial education. Let's not just focus on the youth. That's so important, but let's also think about the other end of the spectrum here.
Yep, indeed, indeed. And that's the beauty of our industry. We can share and create a solution. So it's awesome stuff.
Great programs like yours. You're helping us do it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. All right, man. Well, thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate the time. I know you have a busy, busy schedule, so we'll let you get back to work. And again, appreciate all the hard work you do, and keep up the good work as well.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure being with you today. Have
Indeed.
A good day.
Likewise.